If you have your Bibles, be turning to James chapter 2, please. James chapter 2. Lord willing, we will finish this chapter this evening. We'll start reading in verse 14 and read through verse 26, the remainder of the chapter. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not faith, and not by faith alone. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here this evening. I pray that first and foremost, that you would be honored and glorified, that you would be exalted, that you would be lifted up in what's been sung already, what will be said here in the concluding of our service for this day. May you be glorified and honored in our lives. And Lord, may we, each and every one, take inventory of our lives and see that we are in the faith, that we don't just have the faith that Pastor mentioned, just a general faith, but we have true saving faith in Jesus Christ, that we may know that we are born again. And one of the ways we can know that, as James is making so evident, is not that we can work our way into salvation, but because of salvation, there should be the fruit of good works. So thank you for saving us. Thank you for even giving us the ability to do good works, for without you we can do nothing, and that stands true of us here this evening. So we ask that you would do what you only can do and speak through your word to the hearts of your people and to those that maybe don't know you, that your word would prick their heart, that they would realize their need of you, that you would grant them faith and repentance, that they would turn from their wicked ways and turn to you. Lord, I thank you for salvation. Thank you for loving me in spite of me. And I thank you for our church body, for our pastor. I pray that you just strengthen him, give him wisdom as he leads, and may we be an easy people to shepherd, that we wouldn't be stubborn and stiff-necked, but that we would be submissive to you first and foremost in following him as he follows you. Pray that you would have your will and your way in the matters concerning the building and the lights and even the loan that will come up, Lord. May we not take those things for granted. You have blessed us. May we be good stewards of it, and may you continue to do so. And we trust you to do just that. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. James continues to contrast here, not faith and works, but true faith, saving faith, and false faith or just a profession, an empty confession of faith is what is contrasted. And true faith, he says, will be manifest. It will manifest itself through fruitful good works. And false faith will be barren, fruitless, and in the end is dead. And he asked the question in verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" And we know that we're saved by faith and faith alone, according to Romans. But what he says, he doesn't say can faith save him in the sense of true saving faith, but he says if a man says he has faith. We can say whatever, but God knows our hearts. And so what he says, what does it profit if a man, or what good is it if a man says he has faith, but he lacks good works? And it's not that the works are a way of meriting favor with God, but it is an evidence that he has found grace and favor with God. It is a result of, it is produced from, it doesn't precede it, but it is a benefactor of it. It is what comes from it. And James is continuing to highlight that. So we can take from this that he probably is dealing with many religious people in his day and time. People that claim to know the Lord. But James, I believe, being a good pastor, having a care and a heart for people that's deeper than just the sniffles, and no disrespect to our physical elements, but for their souls. And he says, hey, what I'm seeing in your life is not matching what you're saying as a whole. And the same is true today. And the same would be true, I would say that the same would be true of any good pastor that is worthy of his hire. If all he cares about are the little superficial things, or that just everything is going okay in your life, or that you're not troubled or bothered, that you seem to be happy, healthy, and have a little money in the bank, and if that's all he cares about, then I would say that he's not doing his job justly as a pastor. But a true pastor has a heart for the people. And James's heart is not angry, not mad, but saying, hey, I'm concerned. And I think that should be our attitude, not just as pastors, but as believers, especially today. Because everybody we meet, for the most part, claims to have faith. They claim to know the Lord. But their life is not lived out according to Scripture. And you know, oftentimes we just go right along and say, well, they're a believer, or they know the Lord. Now, it's not our job to be a fruit inspector, if you will, or to be a judge. James deals with that. But we should have a concern saying, hey, what I'm seeing doesn't match what I'm hearing. Pastor said this morning, you remember, you can't hear their words because your actions are speaking so loud. So I would ask you tonight, not what you say. I know who here is a member of New Life Baptist Church. I know who has made a profession of faith and claims to know the Lord. But I want you to really think, as we go through this, about your own life. Are these Beatitudes that's been gone through on Sunday mornings, are they manifest in our life? Is the fruit of the Spirit seen within our life? For I would say it is impossible for a Christian to have the Spirit of God and not show fruit thereof. It is impossible to be a true born-again believer of Jesus Christ and not have good works, is what James is saying. It doesn't mean that if you have good works that you're a believer. There's a lot of charitable organizations. There's a lot of humanitarian efforts done today, not in the name of the Lord. But the absence thereof is what James is saying. It's not the presence of good works that provides salvation, but it's the absence of good works is an indicator that there may be an absence of true salvation. So you can do these things and be lost, but it's impossible to be saved and not do good works. Today there is much people that claim to believe, but their behavior does not match that. Many people have a confession, but I'm afraid don't have Christ. They claim to have faith and no conduct of saving faith. And James illustrates that. We won't belabor it. We went over it last week. But verses 15 and 16, talking about just mere words, he says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? He says, he ends verse 16 the same way he starts verse 14. If you don't do anything to help them in their needful state, what does it profit them? What good is it? And he says, the same is, if you claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, but there is no works, what good is it? Something's wrong. It's useless words without works. You remember in Matthew 25 there, let's turn there, Matthew 25. Verse 34. Jesus speaking, he says, then, Matthew 25, 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now remember, if you read the preceding verses, he has just separated the sheep and the goats. And they've been, and he says to those on the right hand here, the kingdom is prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and gave, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily or truly I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. I don't want to misrepresent the text, but you can see that God says, hey, those that will enter into the kingdom of heaven are people that have done good works, that they have fed the poor, that they have visited the sick, that they have visited the imprisoned. And he's not saying you can inherit heaven by this. This is not the entry into heaven. The only entry into heaven is it through the person and work of Jesus Christ. But what he is saying, if you have truly entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we will imitate his works. We will do these good works. And if we don't, it is a sign that maybe we, our profession doesn't match what we claim to possess. And so it's not a works-based salvation, but works will follow salvation. Back to James, verse 17. Even so, if faith hath not works, it is dead, being alone. Remember we said last week that we are justified by faith alone, but not that faith that is alone. What we mean by that is not just some fancy statement, but we are justified, we are declared righteous before God only on one grounds, in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In the life, the death, and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only grounds that we are declared, that we are made righteous, that we are declared innocent. We're not innocent. We're declared that on our behalf because of Him being innocent and being God in the flesh on our behalf. And we are justified in that sense only through the person and work of Jesus Christ. But one that is justified will have faith that produces works. It will not remain alone. It will have the fruit of good works. In verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. From the human perspective, we can claim to believe anything, claim to be able to do anything, but the way another can know that we can do that is by seeing it. Now, God knows our hearts, but the way that we are to prove that to others is by action. And that's what James is saying there. You show me your faith without using your works, which he knows is impossible. You can't do it. And I'll show you my faith by my works. And then he goes on in verse 19. He says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. He says here, you believe in Jesus Christ. You believe there is one God, that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you do well, but the devils believe that in so much that they fear and tremble. They shake because they know He is real. And so really, it doesn't profit just to have a head knowledge of Christ. Pastor alluded to this morning, that it has to go from the head to the heart. And that's what James is dealing with. That you can know about God, you can truly know He is God and claim that. But if He has not given you a new heart, if you have not been born again, then you are not a child of God. You must be born again. That's what the Scripture says. So the presence of good works can't be used to argue the presence of faith, but the absence of good works can be used to argue the absence of saving faith. But he goes on, verse 20, says, but wilt thou know, O vain or empty man, that faith without works is dead? That's the third time in just these six verses that he's mentioned that. You think he's trying to get a point across to them? You're claiming, I'm hearing what you're saying about faith. I know you believe that there is one God, but that's not enough. You must be born again. You must know the person and work of Jesus Christ, and that was done not just for sinners, but that was done for you, the sinner. It has to be a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. He says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? What does a dead man do? Nothing. I guess you could say one thing a corpse would do if left alone would stink. And you know what? No matter if it is a lost person that knows they're lost, the most wicked, heinous person you can think of, or that may be alive today, or the one that may be the most religious that doesn't know the Lord, you know what? Their works stink in the nostrils of God. And our works only send up a nice savor to the Lord, not because of us, but because of what Christ has done for us that makes them pleasing and gives us the ability to do good works that are pleasing to God. But our works are as filthy rags, is what the Scripture says, in and of ourselves. And so he's not talking about works in a way of pleasing God. It's impossible to do so. But for the child of God, it's amazing to me that we can do things that God gives us the ability to do. As you said, Pastor said, I don't remember how he phrased it this morning, but he was talking about he does what he knows to do and asks God to do only what he can do. It amazes me that
We're called to good works, and we can't do it outside of God. God gives us the ability to do the good works, and then He smiles upon us and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's really Him. It's not me. It's not you. It's Him. And may we remember that when we deal with the lost. The only thing that separates us and any lost person is Jesus Christ. Not me, not you, not these, even doing these works that James are talking about. That doesn't make you any better than the lost or another believer. What makes you differ from one another? What have we been given that we have not received? It is all from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift, James says in chapter 1, comes from God. And may we attribute that right back to where it belongs, to God. There's nothing good within us in and of ourselves. He says, faith without works is dead. And I find this interesting. This can get confusing. I hope my prayer has been for the last couple of weeks that I wouldn't confuse you more. I mean that. So I'm hoping I can articulate what I have studied, what is in my head, and I don't know that I could do that. One of the girls came to me before church and she said, "What's your name?" And I said, "I don't know." And I said, "Half the time I don't even know what my name is." But she was playing a little joke on me. But nonetheless, sometimes I don't even know what my name is. And so I'm going to attempt by the help of God to explain this the best I can. So, but he says, I find this interesting that James is saying first, faith without works is dead. And Paul says the exact opposite, if you will. He's in Romans 3, that you're justified by faith and faith alone. And they both use the same word for justified. And then when it comes time to prove the point, James says, "Hey, I'm going to prove that man is justified by his works. And I'm going to, if you will, if we were in a courtroom, I'm going to call a witness to the stand to testify this." And guess who he calls? Abraham. And if you'll read, and we won't go back through there, but read Romans chapter 3, and you will see that when Paul is going to make the declaration that man is justified by faith alone, you know who he says he's going to call as his first witness? Abraham. Remember, it was counted unto Abraham what? That he did good works? That he offered Isaac? No, that he believed God. It was by faith alone that we are justified, that we're made right by God. Paul is coming from the standpoint of God, that no man can be made right with God in any works that they can do. The only way we can be made right or declared righteous by God is through faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work. James is stating, hey, you're claiming to be already at the starting point to by faith. You're claiming to have saving faith, but your actions aren't backing that up. And he says, you look at Abraham, not only did it say that he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And Paul has got, if you will, Abraham in Genesis 15 there. James has got Abraham in Genesis 22 when he offers up Isaac. What he says is, look at Abraham offering Isaac, proving that he believed God. And if you go back and read that text, it says that the lad in him went up and he says, "I and the lad go to make sacrifice and will return." He didn't say, "I will go, I and the lad will go up and I'll return. We will return." He knew, even if it meant God raising him from the dead, that God was going to spare his son. And so he believed God, trusted God, and was obedient, and God did not require him, you remember, to crucify, but he was willing to. Did that save Abraham? No. He was already counted righteous in Genesis 15. That was proof that what Abraham said and what Abraham had said he believed, that he had believed that. So he uses Abraham here. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? And remember, Abraham's called the father of the faith. When he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. Remember what I said in the beginning, that it's not a contrast of faith and works. It's a contrast of true saving faith and false faith. That faith and works go together is what James is saying. You can't have one without the other. If there's true saving faith, there will be works. And if there's true works of righteousness, it only can be done because there was saving faith in Jesus Christ that preceded it. And so, to me, it is interesting that these two use the same. But one is talking about in the sense of being justified, declared righteous. And the other is talking about they're justifying their statement by their actions. They're declaring their statement is backed up because of their actions. So he calls Abraham here as his first witness, if you will, but and maybe that's not surprising to us. He's called the father of the faith, but the second one he uses as an example, he says exhibit number two is maybe the last person we would pick. You took the father of the faith, Abraham, the father of many nations. Not surprised by that, but he says, verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Think about Rahab. What was Rahab's profession? She was known as the harlot. Wasn't the most wholesome profession, was it? She was a Canaanite. But if you read Joshua chapter 2 there, I think it's around verse number 12, and she declared that God... Let's just go back and read it so we don't misquote it. Joshua chapter 2. We won't read the entire chapter, but we'll read starting in the beginning just for context. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house, named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. So here, the king sends some people to tell her, hey, we know that those men have came into your house, and we need you to turn them over. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Whether the men went, I wot not, or I don't know where they went. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. In essence, they didn't leave very long ago. If you'll leave now, you'll go now, you can catch them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and had hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they were which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard of how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Shion and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. We'll stop there. But you remember, James says, hey, it's not just enough to profess that God is the God of heaven. The devils believe that. So how do we know that Rahab's profession here was accurate, was true, that she really did believe that? By her actions. That her life was on the line. It was of great cost. She risked her house, her own physical being, and everything she had. But she believed and trusted God. And it was proven by her works. Her works didn't obtain her favor with God. She already had faith in God. But her works proved that to be true. Now think with me just for a minute. Go back to James chapter 2. What if Rahab would have followed the advice of verse 15 and 16? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to be to the body, what doth it profit? What would it have profited those two spies if she said, hey, I got too much to lose. I wish you well. I'll pray for you, but you got to go. They would have perished. There's no profit in just vain babbling, vain words. When we stand before God one day, the only thing that is going to matter, the only way there will be no condemnation in Romans 8:1, are those who are in Christ Jesus. Not have information about Him, not an education, maybe not the most knowledgeable, but being in Christ Jesus. And that's what James is dealing with here. Are you truly in Christ? Or do you just have a knowledge of Christ? You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. We know that the body without the spirit is dead. But just as dead as that corpse is laying there, is what an empty profession in Jesus Christ is in the sight of God. You may fool everyone around, but you will not fool God. So my question to you tonight, with all sincerity, are you in Christ? Do you know that Jesus paid it all? All to Him I owe. The work of sanctification is an ongoing process, but the work of salvation is finished in the work of Jesus Christ. And the only way that you and I can have true saving faith and not just an empty profession is forsaking all and putting our faith and trust in Him. And He says, to all who will come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. If you will repent of your sins, turn to Jesus Christ in faith and trust Him, He'll save you. And we know that it has to be God that works in that. But our responsibility is to respond to Him. All men are commanded, what? To repent and believe the gospel. And that's my declaration to you this evening. For those of you that don't know the Lord, repent and believe the gospel. Those of us that do, may our profession be backed up with good works. Not in and of ourselves, but in following Jesus Christ. You know how we do good works? It's not do this, do that. You stay close to the Lord. Follow Him. If we will stay close to God, stay in His Word, and stay close to Him, draw nigh to God, and what? He'll draw nigh to you. If we will just walk with Him, He will not lead us into any bad works. We will do good works, being by the Savior's side. It's really not that hard. Draw nigh to God. But what precedes that? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have to resist the devil. We have to flee from our sin and draw nigh unto God. And in doing so, we will be able to do good works, not in and of ourselves, but because of the one that we're walking with, that is our older brother, that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor?